Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, Kyle Butler, a reporter from the News Talk newsroom, is with me in studio today because, as often reporters do, he has been observant and keeping his ears open and eyes peeled when he was using public transport in Dublin, because you've moved to Dublin recently, Kyle. What did you observe?
Well, look, I moved to Dublin recently and I'm loving it here at the moment. And I'm not driving as much. I'm getting public transport. I'm using the buses. And I'm living out by Lucan. So I was getting the C1 or the C2 bus at the time out from the city centre. And just something really stood out to me. And I had to say it. So I sent an email to your own researchers and I wanted it mentioned. But I was sitting just, say, two rows behind where the special assigned seats are for people with additional needs, the elderly, the disabled. And there was a girl who got on the bus and it appeared that she did have additional needs and she would have used one of those seats. Now, they were all taken. And I'm sure if you live in Dublin or any big city in Ireland, you'll know it's crazy. Yeah. And public transport, like, it's at that time of the day. I don't think it matters how much more buses they'll put on. They'll always be busy. But the girl was getting on the bus and no one would leave her sit down.
Like, so no one got up?
No one got up. So I was there on my phone and I was sitting like two or three rows behind. Like, I wouldn't have been in the assigned area.
Yeah.
You know,
I was
kind of one step up. Do you know what I mean? Where the step goes up the back of the bus. And she was just standing there with her headphones on and she didn't know what to do or where to go. So I intervened and I just said there was a few people sitting. I said, would you leave the girl sit down if that's okay? And they ignored me. They just
paid no heed to you.
Now, one of them had headphones on. That's okay. But the other people just ignored me. And I said to the girl, I said, you follow me and you take my seat. Now, like I said in the email, I'm not looking for a badge of honour. Nothing like that.
I know.
It's just something I do. But I mentioned in the email, look, I just moved up from Tramore in County Waterford. If I was on the 360 bus in from Tramore into the city, and if someone with additional needs or a wheelchair got on, not even a wheelchair, but someone with additional needs, people would jump out of the seat. They wouldn't even sit there to begin with. And what I've noticed in Dublin is that people just get in. Now, look, not all disabilities are visible.
Yeah,
are blind.
Yeah,
and
that's a fair point.
I'm not saying that every person I see that sits in these seats, you know, doesn't need them. But just you see people get on, they don't care that they're the green seats. They just sit there.
Mm. And they're well marked. I mean, you can't, like, I'm on Dublin bus nearly every day of the week, if not two or three times. And, like, it is well marked where the allocated, seats are for vulnerable users or for people with additional needs. And then there's often, you know, there's the area towards the front of the bus on the right as well on your way in where it's marked for either wheelchair users or people with buggies. So there's no way you haven't noticed, you know, that the seat is assigned.
And look, the NTA have made it very, very easy. And buses in Ireland have greatly improved in the last 10 years. Even back home, you know what I mean? You'd be 40 minutes waiting for a bus into Waterford City. But now it's every 10, 15 minutes, and that's great. But they've also made it visually better for the end user, you know? Like you said, the seats are there. They're labelled green.
So the seats in this case, all of the seats you're talking about, the assigned seating, they were all filled with people that you thought were able-bodied and could have got up.
Yes. And look, I'm not saying that maybe there was a chance, a very slim chance that all of them sitting on the eight seats needed the seats. But I think you know as well as I do, if you'd know by looking, they were pretty young.
And not even that, but even as you said, Kyle, when you went up and said to the people sitting in the seat, look, you know, would you mind getting up to let this lady sit down or this girl sit down? And nobody paid a blind bit of heed to
you. No, they didn't.
And just totally ignored you.
I don't know if it's a culture thing now that, like, the younger generation maybe don't know, or maybe, you know, it's the old Irish way was that you'd get up off the seat and leave the old lady sit down.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that disappearing? Is that gone? You know, should there maybe be an awareness campaign by the NTA to maybe just say, if you see an older person on the bus, leave them sit down. It doesn't even have to be the green seat. Just another example. I was on the bus, it was the first 2 weeks of living here, and there was a lady getting on and she had her two Dunn's bags. I'm sure you could picture getting on the bus. Again, it was really busy. Now, I was sitting at the back, but we were leaving, we were going up the Chapel Izzet bypass, and like, she was holding on to the poles for dear life
and trying to hold these two bags.
She started swinging. So I just went like this. I said, she saw me and made eye contact. I said, come up. And then she sat in my seat and I just stood beside her. But we had a great conversation about Lucan and, you know, she told me how much it's after changing.
But you were surprised to see nobody else getting up off the seat. Mark Fennell is with us too, Kyle, on the line today, of course, author and life coach. The other side of this, Mark, I know we'll get plenty of messages from people today who will tell me that they're nearly insulted by some people offering them a seat.
And this is very true, and we're seeing it with studies and research that the younger generations are viewing it as an insult. It's happened to me twice. I was at an event, I was actually speaking at the event, and I was walking through a door, and I held the door for a woman behind me, and she says, "I can hold the door myself." And I said, "Oh, I know, I'm just holding it for you." And she goes, "Well, I don't need a man to hold the door open for me." And I said, "Well, I was holding the door open for whoever was coming through the door."
Yeah, whether it was male or female, it didn't matter, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, she was greatly, and it was the first time I'd ever seen it myself, this number of years ago, and I realised, so I had to start double thinking, like, should I hold doors, should I not? And then I said, well, look, I'm just going to live by my values and hold doors, and that's it. But I also saw it on the loo. I stood up and I said, "Oh, here, you can sit there." It's a woman. She wasn't old or anything, probably 40-something, I don't know, 50-something. And she says, I'm well able to stand, thank you." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I know, I just thought you might prefer a seat." No, I'll stand. So I stood, she stood, and no one sat in the seat. And then this young lad comes on and sits and takes the seat.
He takes the seat.
Yeah, he takes it, because he was oblivious, of course. He got on to the next stop. The point is, but yeah, what we are seeing is that, you know, they do say, is chivalry dead? And I think the view of chivalry has changed, because many perceive it as a, you know, a sexist thing, that, oh, a man thinks he's the protector of me and he can hold the door open, and they interpret it quite negatively for that kind of chivalry. But then when it comes to a person maybe with a disability and so forth, I have heard a person who would have a disability, they walk with a crutch permanently, and they said, "I don't want to be singled out because of my disability, and I don't like when someone offers me a seat." And I could understand that in many ways, because they want to be seen, you know, as the same as everyone. But then there's other people who, you know, I mean, if someone offered me a seat and they didn't want it, I'd take it. You know, that's not me being rude. Mm. I'm like, well, I think we're overthinking it. But I think what happens is people are getting into the values behind it, and it can be seen as, well, I don't need someone to look after me, so I want to be independent. But then on the flip side then is we become a very insular, a very selfish society. If we're all out for self and we want to be seen as independent, well, then we'll be treated that way. And like what happened, Colin, on the bus, you'll have people just oblivious to other people and will just kind of take whatever seat they want, even if it's clearly marked as, you know, a person with
disability. But God, if somebody came up, as Kyle said, though, and you know, and said to you, Mark, or to, you know, to other people, like, "Would you mind getting up? There's a lady here who is, you know, quite clearly maybe looking around for a seat to sit in and has gone over to the assigned area." Like, you would imagine that normal sort of, you know, course of manners would mean that somebody would get up
off
their backside.
You would think that. You would think that people just adhere to that, it's common sense. But no, I mean, look, common sense, not so common. But social psychology would show us quite different, because the interpretation is not what you're asking me to do, it's the fact that you're telling me to do something. Whether it's said nicely or not, I'm not under you, you're not in charge of me. And so they're focused on that rather than what the actual, you know, application is. They're focused on, don't tell me what to do. So they'll just, I'll ignore you or I'll blank you. And then for some people, it's, I don't want to interact with anyone when I'm on the commute, so don't ask me for anything or come to me. I was on a Lewis one time, and a man had a heart attack in front of me, and he dropped down, and his lips went blue and everything. And I was helping him, and a woman who was a nurse came over to help him, and everyone just stepped back. And what shocked me was people took their phones out to
stop.
God. And I had to point to someone and I said, "Phone an ambulance, pull that lever, phone an ambulance, pull it." You know, because that's what I remember from first aid training.
Yeah.
But people filmed and weren't helping. And then we were like, he came around, thank God, because the nurse was able to do CPR. And has anyone got water? And like, everyone just, no one wanted to engage. And sadly, I think it's the largest societal issue.
Listener here makes the point, Steve. When I used buses, my thinking was, in short journeys of 1 to 4 stops, I wouldn't mind standing, but anything longer, I would often strategically stand beside the accessible seat to let people know that I was there. Listener says, there was a time, as Kyle said, you'd nearly argue with a fellow passenger to give them your seat. "No, I'll stand. No, you take the seat. No, go on of mine. Go on," so on. And I suppose you would like to think there was nothing malicious involved, wouldn't you, Kylie? You'd like to think it was just...
I know, but look, I think it is very subjective, and I think, you know, if someone's getting on the bus, and just in my own experience with that lady with the bags, and I know, like he was saying there, you know, should we allow people to sit down, and they might get offended. But if you read the situation,
your gut will tell you, for definite. Yeah. Listener, 35-year-old woman from Offaly, "I'd be ashamed of myself if I didn't hold a door or offer my seat. I don't see it as chivalry. I just see it as pure manners and consideration." Kyle Butler, Mark Fennell, thanks a million to you both for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.